Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast, and welcome to the September edition of Netflix and Phil. My name is Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. Thank you so much for joining us here today. If you are brand new to the podcast, welcome, and thanks so much for checking us out. This is a series titled Netflix and Phil, in which I will recommend different shows that you'll find on streaming sites all over the place. In this instance, today's show that I will be discussing is available on Amazon Prime currently, but that may change here very soon. If you're not necessarily looking for a new show to binge, that's okay. Check out the rest of our library. I promise there is something here for everybody. And for those of you returning listeners, welcome back. Thank you so much for all of your support. We truly could not do this without you, so thank you very, very much for coming back. If you do enjoy this episode, stick around to the very end, and I will let you know where you can find all the rest of our content. But with that being said, I'm excited to get into this month's episode, and it's going to be a little bit different because normally with Netflix and Phil, of course, I will avoid any spoilers because, you know, I'm recommending a show that I think you guys should watch from beginning to end. This month's show is a little bit different because it's certainly one of the most popular shows that I've ever discussed on Netflix and Phil, and of course, that is going to be Dexter, as you see in the title. Now, Dexter is, again, as I mentioned, extremely popular, so it doesn't necessarily need me to come out and tell people to watch it. But the reason I wanted to discuss it is because, of course, for those of you that know, there is a series revival set to premiere on November 7th of this year. So maybe you haven't watched it and you always have wanted to, or you're wondering what season 9 slash this revival is going to entail. I'm going to go over all of that. So this episode is going to be split into two. The first half will be spoiler-free, and the second half will be full of spoilers, as well as discussing what we are going to be seeing in Dexter New Blood, or at least what we've heard as of the day of this recording, which is September 5th, 2021. So, for you newbies, or just for a recap, Dexter is a crime, drama, mystery TV series that aired on Showtime from October 1st, 2006 to September 22nd, 2013. So, it ended 8 years ago, which is just crazy to think about. I remember watching the series finale like it was yesterday. Set in the city of Miami, the series centers on Dexter Morgan, who is played by Michael C. Hall. He is a forensic technician specializing in bloodstain pattern analysis for the fictional Miami Metro Police Department. He also leads a parallel life as a vigilante serial killer, hunting down murderers who have not been adequately punished by the justice system due to corruption or legal technicalities. Dexter is a polarizing show because at its peak, it was arguably one of the most popular shows in television, but at its worst, its hardcore fan base completely turned its back on it. So let's discuss spoiler-free stuff first. For those of you who are thinking about taking a stab at Dexter, I'll proceed. I will tell you that the first four seasons of Dexter are some of the most entertaining television I have ever seen. I even argue that season 5 still has redeeming qualities. It was just incredibly rushed, and I think people that are fans of the show will agree with me at least on that. Season 5, very, very rushed, especially when you think about how season 4 ends. Now, each season presents a major threat or a big bad, and the first four seasons have Dexter's best antagonists. We have the Ice Truck Killer in Season 1, Sergeant Doakes in Season 2, Miguel Prado in Season 3, and the best one in Season 4, which is the Trinity Killer, played by John Lithgow. John Lithgow is utterly haunting in this role. It is absolutely incredible. And before I'd seen him in this role, really the only other thing I had really seen him in was Third Rock from the Sun. So this was a vastly different character that he plays in Dexter. Now, we know that with the Marvel movies, a film is really only as good as its villain, and that certainly rings true in Dexter. The difference is, even in the later seasons where Dexter's primary target is lacking, Michael C. Hall is still great in this role from beginning to end. Now, I've always been more fond of villains and antiheroes, and Dexter arrived on the scene right around the same time as some other iconic antiheroes. Mad Men with Don Draper came out in 2007. Of course, Walter White debuted on Breaking Bad in 2008. The Walking Dead showed up in 2010, Game of Thrones in 2011. So during its run, Dexter certainly had its work cut out for it in order to stay relevant in a market full of, as I mentioned, truly iconic characters. And as much as I dislike seasons 6 through 8, it was never because of Michael C. Hall's performance. And that's probably why I'm a little less harsh on the show overall than others. However, I did rewatch the entire series last year in the middle of the pandemic, and the bad seasons certainly have not gotten better over time. Somehow, it's actually made them worse, which is concerning, but we will always have seasons 1 through 4. I've seen some people suggest that first-timers stop watching the show altogether after season 4. I wouldn't necessarily go that far because there are still bits and pieces of what could have been in the second half of the series, and as I mentioned, Michael C. Hall is awesome as Dexter throughout the entire thing. Now, Dexter has often been compared to if Bruce Wayne decided to just start killing people after his parents were killed. It's kind of funny because they actually play into this vigilante superhero mantra in a later season, and that's certainly a good comparison. What would have happened to Bruce Wayne if instead of Alfred nurturing and loving him and teaching him good morals, he instead taught him how to effectively identify who and who is not worth killing? That's essentially what Dexter's adoptive father, Harry, who is a police officer, has done in this instance. He found Dexter at a crime scene covered in his own mother's blood, brought him into his own home, which effectively gave Dexter an adoptive sister, which is Deborah Morgan, who also happens to work as a police officer at Miami Metro. Harry has implemented a set of guidelines into Dexter that is referred to as the code. As you can imagine, because of his dark past, Dexter is almost completely unable to form normal human emotions. He doesn't really care about people, or even really love them, at least early on. But he knows he has to put on an act in order to avoid suspicion. So because of that, some of the best moments in the show are a result of Dexter having absolutely no idea how to respond to genuine human emotion, whether it be sadness or anger, or even his girlfriend Rita trying to make sexual advances on him. He does not have a clue. One of the main reasons so many fans detest later seasons is because they widely undo a lot of this character growth later on and then only try and re-implement it in a short amount of time. So for those of you that have not watched the show yet, you're probably wondering why in the hell would I want to invest my time into 8 seasons of a show in which the latter half of the series is almost universally despised by its own fan base. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really have a straightforward answer for that. It's almost one of those things that you have to kind of experience for yourself, because you may be thinking there's no possible way that it got that bad. And I'm going to leave that up to your interpretation if you decide to commit. Dexter's series finale is always mentioned amongst the worst series finales in television history. And I have seen some bad finales in my day. How I Met Your Mother, Lost, Game of Thrones. Granted, I've only seen one episode of Game of Thrones ever, and it was the series finale, but from what you guys have said on the internet, it's not good. And yeah, Dexter's finale deserves to be in that conversation. In fact, I say watch it just to see the sharp decline in quality after the original writers and showrunners left. It's truly an impressive feat. But even with the series finale being amongst the worst of all time, this is now the perfect time to start Dexter from the very beginning because, as we mentioned, Dexter New Blood is only a few months away. And I want to talk with you guys about the future of the show, but really quick, I want to talk to you guys about podcasting, because a lot of people come up to Eric and I and ask, hey, how do we get into a podcast? Where do we even start? And we always start with recommending Buzzsprout, because podcasting is not that difficult when you have the right partners. The team over at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. We use Buzzsprout and we absolutely love it. When we first started out, we were overwhelmed. Everything was overcomplicated, and Buzzsprout swooped in and made everything incredibly simple. Buzzsprout gets your show listed in every major podcast platform. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and a whole lot more. You can start with any gear that you already have along with a quiet space, but if you ever want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of resources to help you find the right equipment at the right price. So join us here at the Wait For It podcast and over 100,000 other podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you, gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and of course, it helps support the show. So now this is the part of the episode where I'm going to go into complete spoiler territory, because I want to speak to the fans of the show that may be a little put off by this revival. The writers hurt a lot of us, and when you invest basically 8 years of your life into a series, especially in real time, you remember that pain. There are many reasons to check out New Blood when it drops in November, and of course I certainly have a few questions. So let's go over some of the things we do know about New Blood through promotional material. So if you want to go into season 9 completely blind, you might want to stop here. First, the story will pick up 10 years after the original series finale. Dexter has established a new life in upstate New York under the alias of Jim Lindsay, which is actually a nod to author Jeff Lindsay, who wrote the series of novels the show is based off of, which I think is pretty cool. We also know of at least three characters from Dexter's past that are returning in some way, shape, or form. Jennifer Carpenter as Deborah Morgan, John Lithgow, the Trinity Killer, and Jack Alcott will take on the role of Teenage Harrison. Now, of course, we know that Deb was killed off very unceremoniously in the series finale. She will be filling the role that Harry previously occupied in Dexter's subconscious. I actually found out that they had intended on keeping Jennifer's return a secret until John Lithgow spoiled it, so thanks a lot, John. It's not yet known what role the Trinity Killer will play. I read a report that John Lithgow was only on set for an afternoon, so it's probably some sort of flashback sequence. I assume the series will have a ton of fan service because, I mean, let's be honest, this entire thing is fan service. So I expect some other characters from the original series to pop up in either flashbacks, dream sequences, something along those lines. I would really love to see Sergeant Doakes, Angel, Masuka show up in some way. And also Rita. I think the argument can really be made that once Rita was killed off, the show really struggled to find itself. Rita kept Dexter grounded. She made him somewhat vulnerable to consequence, and after she was gone, Dexter basically went back to living his old life and never faced any type of repercussions for his actions. It's also been revealed that Harrison has somehow tracked Dexter down. He had been under the assumption that his father had been dead this whole time and is understandably very upset about this discovery. So with Harrison back in the picture, does that mean we'll see Hannah McKay? I know a lot of the fan base despises Yvonne Strahovski's performance, and I totally understand why. So maybe they'll just decide to disregard her altogether. I don't expect to see Rita's kids, Aster or Cody. I mean, there's only 10 episodes in this series, so how much time are they really going to be able to dedicate to all of these other characters? Original showrunner Clyde Phillips is returning, and he has confirmed that he will not be retconning anything that happened in season 8. Instead, what they're looking to do is give Dexter a proper send-off that they feel like the character and its fans deserve. I think the fact that they are incredibly self-aware of the negative backlash from the series finale is going to result in New Blood being somewhat of a return to form for Dexter. The show was so good at building the tension of will Dexter finally get caught early on. But once we, the audience, realized that we were stuck in this never-ending loop of Dexter meets a big bad, Dexter kills someone every week, someone is suspicious of Dexter, Dexter kills big bad, Dexter is almost caught, Dexter gets away scot-free, that's when we realized the show might not live up to its full potential. So the series is getting something very few shows ever get, a second chance. When the show originally ended, Showtime informed the writers that they were not allowed to kill off Dexter for the sake of future spinoffs or, in this case, a revival. So here we are, 8 years later, waiting for the return of Dexter and his dark passenger. I, for one, am cautiously optimistic because at its peak, Dexter is one of my favorite shows of all time. So let's hope that everyone involved can deliver the finale that we truly deserve. But that's it for this month's episode of Netflix and Phil. A little different, more conversational than some of my other episodes, but I really, really enjoyed it. And if you want more Dexter content, Eric and I will be teaming up for this month's episode of Tirades and Hot Takes to talk about Dexter even more, because we're just really excited about the show returning. If you enjoyed the show, you can find us pretty much anywhere you're listening to podcasts, which of course includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, Buzzsprout, anywhere you find your shows. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. Also, check the show notes for our YouTube page. We just did a spoiler-free review of the new MCU film Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. You can also find us on social media on Facebook and Instagram, Wait For It Podcast, and on Twitter at Wait For It Pod. That's the best way to keep up with all of our future and past content. But that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening to this month's episode of Netflix and Phil. Once again, my name is Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. Do not forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday, and all you have to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it.
This is the Wait For It Podcast.